So like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we said we weren't going to cover this. Mm-hmm. And then we went and saw it, and now we are.
We didn't even know if we were going to go see it. You were always going to go. And the original plan was for you to just basically let me know if this was worth my time in life. Just decided last minute, screw it. Let's go do it. Let's go see Ghostbusters. We can't help ourselves. We have talked about Ghostbusters more than any other movie on this podcast for sure.
You think so?
I think so. It comes up a lot. We might bring up Ghostbusters more than I bring up James Bond. It comes up a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 1984, for both of us, one of our favorite movies of all time, literally your favorite movie of all time. So when one of these gets released now, we drag our feet, but I think inevitably we say, oh, we got to see it. So we did. And it was pretty fine. I didn't hate it.
Yeah. We're just jumping right in, by the way. We're not doing a big intro to this.
No, it's Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It's a current movie, which we typically don't do, but it's Ghostbusters.
It's Ghostbusters. It's special to us. Unfortunately, it's not special to Sony anymore. It's just IP that you can wring out.
Well, let's give a history of how we feel about some of these other Ghostbusters movies.
Sure.
The first one, untouchable.
Cinematic classic. We both
made
it.
That clear.
Yes.
We did talk about that on this podcast. You can go back.
Yeah.
We've also talked about the second one, which has moments.
Yeah, it's got its moment. Mostly at the beginning.
The beginning and the end of the second one is pretty terrible. Because you got the kid's birthday party.
Oh, God, yeah. You know, oh, for God's sakes. Yeah, okay, that's a horrible...
The mayor pretending none of this shit happened.
That's stupid. We hate this trope they do of... They cut it out of this one, thank God, but the... Nobody. These people are just frauds. Nobody saw anything. It's like the giant... Did nobody see the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? And the heavens opening up?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 2 has its moments. I'm less into Ghostbusters 2 than you are. Ghostbusters 2016...
It's a fucking travesty and a train wreck.
Okay. And I don't feel that strongly about Ghostbusters 2016. I think it's bad. I just think it's a shitty comedy. It's like... That's not the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, what makes it worse is it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah, for sure. And I get that. Like, that's the moment, right? That's where you've just lost all respect for yourself when you make that movie and you make it a Ghostbusters movie. It's basically a shot-for-shot remake of the original, even though Paul Feig has claimed forever that it's a completely new, completely different take on the franchise. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's just a very bad movie. And yes, it's Ghostbusters. So I get it.
So then they do Afterlife.
Yes.
Which both of us said we let that movie off the hook.
Yeah, we walked out of that theater pretty positive. We hated the third act right away.
This is The Force Awakens to a lesser degree.
Afterlife is The Force Awakens, I think.
Yes.
And this is The Rise of Skywalker.
Is it?
Well, no, hang on. Let me clarify. I think Frozen Empire is better than Afterlife.
Agreed.
But I think Frozen Empire was reminding me a lot of The Rise of Skywalker. They have very similar problems. Now, I think Frozen Empire is better than...
How do you feel about Rise of... You're saying... Oh, I'm sorry. Not The Last Jedi. Rise of Skywalker.
I'm saying Rise of Skywalker. That's the last one. Okay. The Last Jedi is the one in the middle. I know this is going to be a very confusing comparison. We'll keep on Star Wars for a second. The Force Awakens, reboot the franchise, you introduce some new characters, you keep your old legacy characters, right? In my head, that's like Afterlife. Kind of the same thing, right? Yeah. The Rise of Skywalker, I think, is fucking terrible. But the problems are similar with that and with Frozen Empire in that it's completely overstuffed with both plot and characters. And it just has so much going on that nothing ever quite comes together in a satisfying way. And there's so many characters that nobody really gets a satisfying arc. And both movies throw so much stuff at you that it almost tricks you. Because you're like, with Rise of Skywalker, I walked out of that movie being like, wasn't great, but it was, you know, felt very Star Wars-y. But then you think about it for 5 minutes and you're like, no, actually, that was just a terrible movie.
Well... I think too, like the comparison to The Force Awakens is that the last offerings of Star Wars, what we got, was so terrible.
Yes.
The prequels.
I know what you're getting at.
That when you see something that's a competent movie, even though they're kind of going beat for beat from the New Hope.
New Hope, yeah.
And kind of just role reversing some of the people and things like that, you leave satisfied.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
It's a competent movie.
It's a competent movie, for sure. I mean, and that's exactly how I felt when I first saw Force Awakens was, oh my goodness, after the, I really enjoyed it. I still like The Force Awakens quite a bit. I know people have soured on that movie since it's come out, but I still think it's pretty solid. But yeah, after the prequels, you get that, and you're like, well, okay, pretty good. It feels like Star Wars, whereas the prequels never really did. It looks like Star Wars. It's got a cool villain with a black helmet. That works. Afterlife, very much the same thing. Yeah, like after the 2016 Ghostbusters, which was terrible, I don't, by the way, I don't want to make it sound like I'm soft on that movie or anything like that, because I think that movie sucks. I just, when I saw it, my reaction to it wasn't like visceral anger. It was just like, well, this is a fucking awful comedy, but whatever. Yeah, you see Afterlife and then even this and you're like, well, it's not that. That's something.
Well, and the thing that 2016 like failed to grasp was the concept of Ghostbusters and what made Ghostbusters great, which was they played it straight.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to mix in, you know, even though it's pseudoscience, some kind of science elements with the supernatural.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting concept. And it's one of the things that draws me to it the most.
And playing it straight, to me, is what makes the comedy successful. Because, especially with like Egon and Ray, you believe that those guys are scientists.
And those are four comedians, or three comedians and an actor.
Yes.
Because, you know...
Ernie Hudson
was not a comedian at the time.
No.
They were at the top of their game.
They were the biggest thing, the three of the biggest things ever. They were all coming off of hugely successful projects. These guys were enormous. They were at the top of their game.
2016, Melissa McCartney, the bloom was starting to come off the rose with her already.
Well, I
but she was popular.
She was popular.
So was Kristen Wiig.
I have never liked Melissa McCarthy in a single thing.
Okay, well there you go.
To me, I've never gotten it. I don't think she's funny. I think Kristen Wiig is very funny. And Kate McKinnon, I think, is very funny, and Leslie Jones is very funny. They're talented people in a horrible movie.
Well, it was a lot of improv too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess sometimes they need to be reined in.
You can do tons of improv, but you need a director with a rock solid vision, and you need a really good editor.
Let's just call a spade too. That was a straight up assault on men. I don't give a fuck anybody says. That's what it was.
You mean when they shoot the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in the dick at the end?
And then Chris Hemsworth is the dumbest motherfucker you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Every man in that movie is either a complete dumbass or an asshole.
Yes. I'm not going to argue with you on this at all.
They have the old Ghostbusters make cameos, and Bill Murray could give a fuck less, and that doesn't change, by the way.
No, Bill Murray clearly does not want to be anywhere near this franchise. I think what happened with him, because he held Ghostbusters up forever,
yes,
and they finally threatened legal action against him to get 2016 done, and I think since then he's just been like, whatever, I'm an old man, who cares? Give me the check. I'm not going to hold this up, because he in 2016, in Afterlife, in Frozen Empire, he has not been remotely interested in any of those three.
Afterlife, the worst part of that movie was the end for me.
Yeah, the whole third act.
They speed run everything that happens in the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the movie is different, which is what we were enjoying about it. And then they go to Walmart, and it becomes the entire third act of Ghostbusters.
The Walmart.
That's the moment. That's where it goes downhill. That's where Paul Rudd turns into the Louis Tully character. He gets possessed by the demon dogs. We get so many member berries in that movie. It's nothing but, do you remember this?
Yes.
Do you remember Spores, Molds, and Fungus? Do you remember Evo Shandor? Do you remember Gozer? Do you remember the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Yes.
It's constant.
That's true.
In Frozen Empire, which I guess we can kind of get to now, they toned that way down.
They toned that down. They dig deeper into the lore more than any other Ghostbusters movie, which I found interesting, and I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like the ghost lab. I like all the different gadgets they have and things they're experimenting with.
I think the Ghost Lab is smart. It's in this movie, Winston has become a successful businessman, which I like that angle because, you know, I was thinking about in the first movie, he was just a guy that wanted a job. It kind of makes sense that he wouldn't get so caught up in all this ghost stuff that he's not Ray. He's not still just in the bookstore, you know, talking about ghosts after all these years. He just went off and did something else.
To me, Ernie Hudson and Dan Aykroyd are the two best things about this movie.
100%.
For different reasons, because Winston is the more straight man in this, mm-hmm. and Dan Aykroyd is still like having a hard time letting it go.
Well, that's Dan Aykroyd genuinely loves this stuff too. The occult, the supernatural.
True.
He would be in the movie. He hosts like a paranormal YouTube show. Mm-hmm. That is something that I could see Dan Aykroyd doing if he wasn't still doing movies.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, this podcast kid is there, like,
oh yeah,
being his tech guy. Like, for what?
Okay,
why do we need him in this?
And that is, we both have pitches for how we think we could improve the movie.
Yes.
So we could do that if you want to, because one of the biggest issues with this movie, again, it's the Rise of Skywalker thing. It's so overstuffed. It has 30 lead characters. It's too much.
I agree.
Okay. Do we want to do any stats on this? Do we care?
No, I mean, because it hasn't got a full theatrical run.
No, it's probably...
It's been out for a couple weeks by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah, and Godzilla's already opened and is crushing
blown it. Blown that out of the water.
So this movie's probably going to end on a not amazing box office haul. It's the budget's $100 million. So far, it's made $108. That's not good enough to cut it, and probably not good enough to warrant a sequel.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting what they think, what kind of legs they think this has.
Yeah. It didn't, you know, the Rotten Tomatoes is bad. It's the lowest scoring Ghostbusters movie, which I think is very unfair because I think this is not the worst Ghostbusters movie at all.
We both agree that this is probably the second best Ghostbusters.
That's how we both feel. And again, there is a Grand Canyon sized chasm between the first Ghostbusters and all this other stuff.
I agree.
But to me, this is my second favorite Ghostbusters movie. We laughed, which is nice in a comedy.
Unlike, we did laugh.
Unlike in 2016, where we never laughed.
No.
Or in Afterlife, which was a gritty family drama for the first, you know, half of the movie.
Yes.
So it wasn't really trying to be a comedy. I don't know. Let's do the good stuff first. What's good? What do we like? We like Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson.
They had one of the best scenes in the movie where he pulls Dan Aykroyd like into the hallway and goes, "Dude, we're too old for this shit." You know?
It felt very self-aware.
Yeah.
There's actually a few moments in this movie that feel very meta, but that scene was probably my favorite scene in the movie.
When you see the like old Ghostbusters suit up, especially Bill Murray,
he looks like the Crypt Keeper. He doesn't want to be there.
He looks tired. At one point, he has sunglasses on for no reason.
No idea why.
He has a bottle of whiskey hidden away in the firehouse when he shows up, and I'm like, that's shoot whiskey.
That was funny.
There's no doubt.
That made me laugh.
Yeah.
It made me laugh.
And it's true.
Oh, yeah. No, that was for sure just Bill Murray being like, I need a drink if I'm going to do this again.
Yeah.
Bill Murray just wants to do Wes Anderson movies for the rest of his life. He doesn't want to do this anymore.
Exactly.
I liked the opening scene. Opening scene is... like 1908 New York.
Yes.
The Adventure Club, which I thought was a really cool concept. This is a group of, as Patton Oswalt says later, a group of rich assholes who steal artifacts and over a bottle of Beaujolais and a couple of hookers, they do weird rituals. And that felt very Ghostbusters-y to me. I like that setup.
See, I was thinking of the other scene in the beginning.
I know what you're thinking.
I hate that scene.
So do I.
And it's weird because you would think, oh, it's the Ecto-1, and mm-hmm. they're blasting the fucking ghost, and they've got the drone trap and all that shit, and you're like thinking this is cool, and it's not.
It's not. It's not. That is the opening scene, the quick little, almost like a pre-title sequence, 1908. Then we cut to...
That scene's great. You're absolutely right.
That scene's really good, but then the opening scene of the movie proper is the Spangler family. That's another Rise of Skywalker thing. Paul Rudd's character just declares himself a Spangler.
Just like Rey.
Rey Skywalker.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So he's a Spangler now, I guess. So the Spangler family, you know, the beloved Spangler family from the critically acclaimed film Ghostbusters Afterlife, opens in the Ecto-1, and it's Paul Rudd and the mom and Phoebe and Stranger Things kid bickering and doing like Marvel style quippy dialogue.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
I was worried. I thought we were in.
I was fucking worried, dude. We both looked at each other like, oh no.
Oh no. If this is the next 90 minutes of our life, this is going to be pretty depressing.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it's not. That eases up.
They tone it down big time.
They tone it way down. Paul Rudd, for the first 20 minutes of this movie, his character was so annoying. He was playing Basil Exposition. Everything that came out of his mouth was just horrible expository dialogue to set up whatever.
Yes. He gets better as the film goes on.
He gets better. He gets a lot better. I can't blame Paul Rudd, and this is just bad writing, but he was pretty annoying at the beginning. I don't understand why they're Ghostbusters. That's an issue I have with the movie. The mom was completely disinterested in all of this.
They even say that they're not getting paid to bust ghosts.
Yeah, they're not getting paid.
So what the fuck are they doing
there? So this is just your hobby?
The whole purpose of Ghostbusters, the original, was to make money off of busting ghosts.
Yeah, it's a it was a business.
Yeah.
It's a business movie.
It's a movie about capitalism.
Exactly. Well, we've been over this.
And
yeah.
Small business.
It's small business versus Walter Peck, Ronald Reagan.
Reaganomics.
Reaganomics, exactly. The evils of government interfering in unregulated nuclear accelerators.
Walter Peck in this, like, he doesn't feel like Walter Peck.
No.
He feels like a mustache trolling villain.
I will say this though. I didn't hate that in concept. I don't think they did it very well.
No.
But the idea that Walter Peck is the mayor and he still just has beef with the Ghostbusters, like, okay, that's a fine setup, I guess. I don't like how they did it though. Because he's just a dick in this. That's it. Although he does, again, he pulls the Ghostbusters into their office, because you remember when the Ghostbusters got pulled into the mayor's office in Ghostbusters 1, so we have to do it again. And he grounds Phoebe because he's like, you're 15. We're not letting you. We don't let 15-year-olds be police officers and firefighters. And I'm like, yeah, once again, Walter Peck is correct.
Yeah. And in this one, Phoebe's like taking no shit. She's a sassy teenager. Look, and apparently a lesbian, which we'll get to.
If they do another one of these, I think there is a real world where Phoebe joins the Melissa McCarthy multiverse Ghostbusters thing. And we see that team up.
Good God.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I don't even like putting that into the universe, but I'm definitely not the first person I've heard bring this up. But that is now, because that movie is now 8, 9 years old, something like 8 years old. It's now just old enough to where people have cooled off about it. And now that's, you can add that to the nostalgia pile.
Stranger Things has nothing to do in this.
No.
This, the girl Lucky, his love interest in the first one.
I love how you needed to violently change the subject. You're I can't hear this.
I can't even fucking listen to that shit, dude.
He has nothing to do, and Lucky has very little to do.
And she's got some funny lines. The whole thing where she's talking about the sex chamber and the grandma, and, oh, she could be as loud as she wants in here. I was laughing.
Yeah, and I was laughing at you laughing.
That actress is great.
She's very good.
But
do you need that character?
Do you need her? Like, why is she here? She's just here to be an intern?
Exactly.
You could have gotten rid of her, Stranger Things, podcast, actually the whole fucking family, to be quite honest.
You could have gotten rid of all of them. Keep Paul Rudd. I'll get more into this when we do my what I'd cut and what I'd keep thing.
Yeah.
You could get rid of all of them, and it would change absolutely nothing about the movie. It'd probably be better. It could be a little more streamlined. She's good. She is Lucky. But again, you just... Do you need that character? You give those lines to somebody else, it's the exact same thing.
So, in this one, I can't think to pronounce his name.
Kumail Nanjiani,
mm-hmm. Who is also, I like him.
Yeah.
He's good for what he's given in this, but...
I thought it was funny. I thought he was probably the standout.
Yeah, but this whole, they got a lot of shit going on in this too. Like, he's the firebender and all this, which they find out later. He's got that artifact, though, from the beginning. Ray, like the PKE meter is busting when the thing, you know...
It's the big frozen ghost is stuck in an orb.
It's the MacGuffin.
It's a MacGuffin of the movie, yeah. Right.
Which is fine. I mean... Yeah,
I didn't like the firebender storyline.
Me neither.
I just make him a Ghostbuster. You're overcomplicating this.
And you know what they're going for.
What?
He's the Keymaster.
Oh, yeah, of course.
When the frozen fucking demon guy from Game of Thrones comes out of the mm-hmm. thing, he even goes to the shop and goes, are you the firebender or firemaster?
Okay, that was actually my favorite joke in the movie, and I thought they bungled it a little bit, but I thought him going to a vape shop called the Firebender and killing a guy, like killing his arch nemesis, I thought that was actually kind of funny.
We keep saying Firebender, like this is Avatar. Yeah. The last, it's actually the Fire Master.
Fire Master, yeah. The idea being that he his lineage can control fire, and that's how he fights the frozen ghost.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I know.
I didn't like that. I would have just made him a Ghostbuster. He's funny. I thought Camille Nanjiani was funny.
Part of me, too, wonders, like, okay, you're in 2024 now. Winston has all this money. Mm-hmm. Why are they still driving around this pile of shit Ecto-1?
Yeah, and also, why in Winston's state-of-the-art ghost lab are they using 1980s IBM computers? Did you catch that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that drove me insane. That's maybe a more subtle member, Barry. Hey, do you remember the 80s?
Yeah.
We're still using 80s tech, but it's like, why? Winston's rich.
There's a scene in the library where you see the librarian ghost again for no reason.
Yeah.
But there's not as many member berries in this as there was in Afterlife.
They're there for sure. And every time one, you could also see it coming a mile away. Yeah. Every time there was going to be a member berry, you and I looked at each other and were like, oh yeah, this is coming. You start to hear the music and you go, we're going to see the ghost librarian. See the ghost librarian.
Slimer,
because you remember Slimer. Slimer wasn't in.
He loves those Cheetos.
He loves Cheetos. Sponsored by Cheetos.
Yep.
Is that the type of, is that what you want associated with your brand? Our brand is the preferred snack of the fattest, slobbiest ghost of all time.
That's basically, no shit. Hey, you fat slobs, get some Cheetos.
Lop up your Cheetos, you fat piece of shit. Here, take him to the trough, feed him the Cheetos.
Yeah. Why is Slimer in the firehouse? We don't know.
Well, because you remember Slimer. You remember Slimer from Ghostbusters, right? The classic 1984 film.
Yep. It's
been desecrated in every subsequent movie.
Another thing that was good. What's Cat's name? He's like Egon 2.0.
Oh, James Acaster.
Yes.
I liked him very much. I like James Acaster. I've seen some of his stand-up, and he's very funny.
He was good. I liked him.
Very good. He was criminally underused, but everybody's criminally underused because when you have 30 lead characters, nobody gets their moment. At first, I was really worried that he was going to be like, I was getting Kate McKinnon in 2016 Ghostbusters vibes, mm-hmm. where he was going to be like the goofy, wacky scientist man who's quirky, but they didn't really do that.
No.
You have to... It's a comedy, it's silly, it's fine, but you have to believe that these people could be Ghostbusters and scientists, and that was a big problem for me with 2016, was I don't believe for a second that any of those people could be genius scientists capable of creating the Ghostbusters tech.
No, and I don't believe that Finn Wolfhard or Stranger Things, whatever the fuck his name is, and Phoebe, even though Phoebe's a very good actress.
Yeah, and she's, of the family, I like her the most.
Sure.
But that's still a low bar.
The mom, like, why? Like,
why?
We don't.
Why is she there?
Exactly. Like, and then there's like 15 Ghostbusters shooting proton packs at the end.
15 might be low. There's so many Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And Janine gets to suit up. Wrist cannon.
That was Bill Murray's worst line in the movie. He just walks into the firehouse and he goes, "Oh, Janine in the suit." And it's like, this is wildly out of place for this moment. Why are you just... And he just shows up completely disinterested. You could
drunk.
Tell, drunk. 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 You could tell he gave him 15 minutes. He was like, you got me for 15. And I'm going back to the next Wes Anderson movie.
He just looks so tired, dude.
Yeah. Well, they all kind of... I mean, Janine looked tired, too.
Yes, she did.
She really did.
Ray, I mean, the only one that looks like he's with it is Ernie Hudson.
Who looks incredible.
He does. And he's fucking 78 years old.
Yeah. I thought Dan Aykroyd was also very, very good, though.
I agree.
I think it was nice to see him do something. I haven't seen Dan Aykroyd in a movie in so long, other than his cameo and, you know, Afterlife and whatever. But this actually gave him something to do that made, and I hated him in Afterlife. That's the one where they just made him do
exposition.
Yeah, 5 minutes of exposition.
Yeah.
Well, it was the 80s. Business was drying up. And then the Statue of Liberty came to life.
Egon Spengler can rot in hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God. Ugh. I hated that movie. Anything else? Should we get to our pitches, how we fix this mess?
No, because we haven't even touched on the main aspect of this movie, which is causing all the waves. And
oh, yeah, okay, you're right.
Phoebe gets upset because she's grounded.
Mm-hmm.
goes to the park to play chess by herself, as teenagers do in the middle of New York City.
Very normal thing to do.
And another ghost is playing chess with her, and this time it's a 25-year-old girl who's supposed to be a 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And this ghost does not look like Slimer, or she's not deformed or anything like that. She's like a pretty sassy girl. And they soft tease a romantic relationship between these two, but they don't go all the way because they don't want to.
Soft tease is putting it too mildly. It is the softest of teases. It's like it's there. If you squint, you can be like, yeah, okay, this is a lesbian ghost romance.
The Red Letter Media review, I won't steal it. I'll give them credit. Jay goes, they didn't want it to be where you can screen capture something and then it just says woke question mark on the YouTube video.
Yes, and that's exactly what you don't want, because you don't, especially everybody's so sensitive to this stuff right now. You don't want to upset that element of people.
See, the lesbian thing is not the problem here.
No, it's the fact that it's a ghost relationship.
It's a ghost relationship.
It's weird.
And the plan here to free Baraka or whatever the fuck the Ice King's name is.
I was actually going to ask you that. I was going to say, without looking at notes.
I think it's Garaka.
I think it's Garaka too, but yeah. I was going to say, without looking at notes, could you tell me what the villain's name is? Because I don't know.
It is Garaka, right?
I
think it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so.
Anyhow.
I got this written down somewhere.
Is for this girl to seduce Phoebe, trick her into going to the ghost lab, because they have technology where you can remove your spirit from your body for 2 minutes.
Well, the idea, the machine is used for extracting ghosts who are possessing objects.
Correct.
So the body thing is kind of experimental, where she's like, I can suck my soul out of my body for a minute.
Yeah.
Just like Dan Aykroyd had the soul sucked out of him in Ghostbusters 1. For different reasons.
See, that's why I was hoping they'd go all the way with this, dude, and at least have like some light scissoring or...
Sure, yeah, why not? Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
A little bit of lesbian cunnilingus. For this PG-13 film.
Children's movie? Yeah.
Just really piss off all those people, though.
Phoebe, what are you doing here, honey? I'm 69ing with a ghost, Mom. What? All right, we're getting out of this business. This is enough. This is insane.
But Mom, busting makes me feel good.
Mom, busting makes me... God, ew.
Paul Rudd does make that joke, and I was dying laughing.
And I was laughing at you laughing.
Well, because he was like, the way he delivered it.
Yeah, it was
he
funny.
Was like, you know, and busting makes me feel good. And she was like, that's enough.
Yeah.
The wife.
Yeah. So yeah, the thing with the kind of lesbian ghost romance is they're going to use the ghost soul extracting machine. So that Phoebe, they meet several times, and they're clearly, there's something going on, but again, it's never too far. And Phoebe says, I want to experience being a ghost for just, you know, for just a minute, so we can chastely hold hands or whatever. But then we find out that the ghost is being controlled, the girl ghost is being controlled by Garaka, the frozen demon monster.
He can only possess spirits, he or can, control spirits.
He can control spirits, and... When Phoebe's soul is sucked out of her body, her soul can still control her body. So Garaka can control her and use her ghost to use her body to do a chant that is what releases him from his frozen prison.
It's so contrived.
It's so contrived. You could cut all of this out. You don't need any of this. Just he gets out of the box. Who cares?
Right. And so he does. And they're trying to get the Fire Master to master his skills. And mm-hmm. he's not doing too well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, you know, the goat, they show all that scene in the beginning where you're like, man, there's some real consequences here. People are going to die.
No.
In New York. And it's a new ice age. And, you know, this scene only lasts like 15 minutes.
Yeah, the whole, there's so much. The movie's not long. It's less than 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Just under. The whole thrust of the movie, this all the stuff you saw in the trailers, that's the last 15, 20 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's so quick.
Yeah, and then the girl is trying to like move back on, and then also too, there another subplot is the containment unit is full.
Oh yeah, which ends up not really mattering. Mm-hmm. A bunch of ghosts escape, and they don't really do anything
the
about
same
it.
Same shit from the first movie.
Well, you remember the ghosts escaping from of the course, first movie, yep. So yeah.
Yeah, they really don't do anything about that, do they?
My thought was, there's your sequel bait. Now there's 50,000 ghosts that are free roaming New York City. Also, I have. I have a lot of questions about.
Well, they were building a second containment unit in the ghost lab. Yes. One that was way bigger.
It was going to be enough to like store ghosts for the next 100,000 years or something crazy. Here's my question. Not that this matters, but the setup of this world is starting to get a little messy, because in Ghostbusters 2, obviously 2016 is not in continuity yet. In Ghostbusters 2, they're basically out of business. In Afterlife, we find out they literally went out of business decades ago, because they were done. In this movie, they kind of allude to the fact that they've been catching ghosts and storing ghosts in the containment unit continuously since 1984.
Yes.
It's a little messy.
Yes.
Doesn't matter, but...
And even Afterlife, too, they never talk about what happens in Part 2.
No, they just gloss over
that. And in this one, they do. They show the Statue of Liberty walking down the street.
Yes. They also show footage from like the Ghostbusters music video. So is that just in universe now that
I guess.
Okay.
To be fair, in the first one they were big time celebrities. Like it was like the Ghostbusters diet, and
that is true. So I guess it makes sense that they would have made a music video, I suppose.
Sure.
Why not?
Why not?
That is not even in the top 100 problems that this franchise has at this point.
No. So then Phoebe like breaks down a bunch of brass, because brass is what traps this ghost.
Yeah, that she has to dip her proton pack in brass, so she melts down a bunch of brass pots
in 2 minutes.
Oh no, that's the pole. It's the fire pole.
Yeah,
she melts down a bunch of brass in like 2 minutes using what looks like a Bic lighter, and fine, okay, but that doesn't really matter because that doesn't actually work.
Right.
That takes so the free
the froze, fire master gets the match from
its ending is so confusing.
Yeah. The one that the lesbian ghost has the match that she lights.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what gets her to heaven.
Yeah.
Of course, she's got to stick around, though, for the finale, so you can see Phoebe watch her evaporate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the fire master gets the fire and melts the ghost, and then that's what happens. And he goes doop-de-doo.
And then that's it?
Yeah. Then there's like 17 people outside the firehouse going, Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Did you notice how small everything felt?
Yes.
Okay, just one behind-the-scenes thing. They didn't shoot in New York, or at least they shot in New York for like a couple days or something. Mm. This was all done on sound stages. Was this a COVID production?
It was a COVID production.
No, because... Oh, it was. You're right.
Yeah. It was supposed to come out like 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, because...
Or 2 years ago, and it was filming during COVID.
Well, yeah, because... So Afterlife was shot before COVID and then delayed because of COVID. So they would have been shooting this still during COVID?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I know it was shot on a soundstage in London.
This got pushed back a lot too.
Well, yeah, we kind of mentioned this. Okay, yeah, that does make sense, because I think even as far back as like a year, year and a half ago, mm-hmm. you and I were kind of saying that like it's very weird. Supposedly this whole movie has done it in the can, but there's been no promotion for it. There's no release date, no trailer. It's just it's been kind of floating out there for a while. Yeah. So it was very noticeable that everything felt very small. A complaint that people have had, I kind of do too, is there is very little actual ghost catching in this movie. And I don't need to see ghost catching because I need to see the proton packs, but that does allow for fun moments. Every time they go to catch a ghost in this movie, it's just Ecto-1 takes off, and then cut to a small set, cut to a soundstage, cut back to the firehouse. You don't actually ever see any of it. And I do wonder if part of that was because they were just shooting this whole thing in what feels like really tight quarters.
Yeah, I mean, the first two Ghostbusters had that montage, right? Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily see them busting ghosts left and right, but they're running through the town. Ghostbusters 2, they have the jogger.
That's a great one.
With the trap. They have the jewelry ghosts when they shoot all the lasers and shit. Like,
yeah, you got the brothers, the ghost brothers at the beginning in the courtroom.
Fun little things like that.
You don't need to see... I think we were texting about this, that like the proton packs or the ghost catching bits in the first movie only have a few minutes of actual screen time. Mm-hmm. They're not there very much. But they still do things that make it feel like they are... that there's action, that they're propelling. You're right, like running through the streets, montages, going on TV, whatever. Like it feels like things are happening. This just feels like people talking in rooms, because it's just people talking in rooms.
It really is.
Which is normally the type of movie I like, but not in this context. Not for this. No.
We're not talking about World War II here.
No. I wish we were.
Yeah, we're talking about a fictional universe where they catch ghosts.
So exactly.
Like, you need to have more in your movie like that. Just, like you said, not necessarily just, you know, 45 minutes of proton blasting.
No.
But you need to have something that illustrates that they're doing things.
No, well, you don't...
There's been some progression.
You don't want it to turn into the end of 2016 Ghostbusters, which is when they all turn into...
And they're doing flips and...
Ridiculous. They're doing... They're like action heroes and the proton packs are guns.
Horrible.
The movie is really fucking bad.
That is not what Ghostbusters is, dude.
No. You know that movie? That's like, I think the second highest Rotten Tomato rated Ghostbusters movie is 2016.
That's unfucking real.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters is a movie where you and I can't be Thor.
No.
Or Captain America. But I can totally see ourselves getting in jumpsuits and putting on a pack and busting a ghost.
Yes. Like,
that's what Ghostbusters is.
Absolutely. It's schlubby.
Maybe I'm projecting myself onto my heroes.
No. It's schlubby middle-aged scientist men
that are smart,
that are very smart, and use science to conquer superstition and ghosts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the thrust of it. It's not an action.
A fucking family from like a Spielberg movie.
It's not an action movie. It's not a family drama. You're completely missing the point with all of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So with all that said, let's hear. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, just do we like this movie?
It's funny. I'm talking myself out of it.
I know. Me too.
But at the same time, it is still probably the second best Ghostbusters movie.
I agree. But again, it's just that goes to show you how low of a bar that is.
We've talked about elements that we enjoy from this, but now I'm questioning: do I enjoy more elements from Ghostbusters 2 than I do for this? And Afterlife, I feel like I barely remember.
Yeah, I've only seen Afterlife once.
Me too.
And I have no desire to revisit.
What does that say about that?
I almost rewatched it before we recorded this, and I went to put it on, and I just went, I can't do it.
How many times have we seen Ghostbusters the original?
1,000?
Yeah. And I've seen the second one a ton.
And I've seen it now a few times.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many times are we going to go back and watch this one?
Well, I'll just, you know what, you're right, because gun to my head, now I'm thinking about it, like, when I want to go watch Ghostbusters again, which is probably going to be like in 2 weeks, I'll rewatch Ghostbusters, and I'll inevitably be like, I'll throw the second one on. Why not?
Sure.
It's pretty fun. You'll
turn it off before the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, when I hear Sam Cooke, that's when I'll turn off. That's when I'll turn Ghostbusters 2 off. That's when I know things are about to get really bad.
Yes.
But it has its moments. Afterlife, I've never wanted to see the 2016. Actually, you know what? I watched some clips from 2016 the other day, and it's just bad.
It is.
Afterlife, I have no desire to watch because it was bland and boring, and then it was just a bukkake of Ghostbusters. Do you remember this?
Well, like you said, though, it's like a family adventure.
Yeah.
And this kind of is, too.
Yeah.
But there's sprinkles of things that are great in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny we talk about Star Wars, because when I think about The Last Jedi, and I know you and I have different opinions on this.
Oh, yeah.
I do like some things in The Last Jedi. There are things sprinkled in that I like. But for every Kylo Ren epic lightsaber battle where he takes down the Imperial Guard in that room, there's Leia floating like Mary Poppins, right? For every Luke Skywalker, I want you to fire every weapon we have on that man, and he just walks right through it.
Well, kind of.
We find out he's a ghost.
Yeah.
You know, or he's drinking the fucking blue milk, or, you know, things like that. So that's the thing. There's a lot of counterpoints to that movie.
The Last Jedi is my 20. I feel about that movie the way you feel about 2016 Ghostbusters.
Really?
Pretty much.
Oh, I can't wait till we go on this run.
I will say, though, I agree with you in that there are things in The Last Jedi concepts that I think, okay,
yeah,
interesting.
It's execution.
It's the execution.
And I think Rian Johnson went out of his way to shit on everything J.J. Abrams had set up.
Yeah.
Right. And you've got The Rise of Skywalker, where JJ is just trying to retcon everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a mess.
Yeah.
Rian Johnson, I really like, I liked Looper, and I really like his two, the Benoit Blanc, the Glass Onion, and I can't remember the name of the first movie now, his murder mystery movies with Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed both of those quite a bit. I think he likes to break things. He likes to break genres. And if you're doing it in the context of a fun murder mystery, good. If you're doing it to one of the most beloved franchises of all time, of course people are going to get pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll come back to that. I'm going to rearrange those rankings. I don't know if I'd ever have a desire to go back and watch this movie again. It was a fun day at the theater.
Yeah, it's almost like they kind of got us again with the nostalgia bug.
Yeah.
And again, the things that we still love about the original are here, like a strong performance from Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson. Mm-hmm. Bill Murray can fuck off in these movies as far as I'm concerned.
Me too.
We never need to see him again.
No, he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't care. Just let him go. Let him go retire. Let him go do another black and white Wes Anderson movie. That's all he wants to do.
If you're stumbling onto this podcast right now and you're considering, well, hopefully you've watched the movie because we talked about everything.
Yeah.
But it's a soft recommendation for me. Maybe a matinee.
Yeah, for sure. Wait till it hits that dollar theater, if that's even a thing anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think
$5 theater.
Hey.
Inflation.
Thanks, Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. No. Soft recommendation from me. Softest of recommendations.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not great. I think it's better than Afterlife. It's fine.
So let's hear your pitch.
All right. Okay, so having said all of that, I do like a lot of things that are in this movie. But yeah. I think the biggest problem is overstuffing with character and plot. And I think people were used improperly. Mm-hmm. So here's what I would do. Cuts. Bill Murray doesn't need to be there. Podcast literally does nothing. Lucky, like her, good. But I think you could combine her character with James Acaster's character. We didn't mention this. I think everybody hates the genius child trope. I don't get it. I think it's annoying. I don't want to see kids being perfect at everything. I just think it's weird.
Yes.
And she doesn't really do that, but she is an 18-year-old intern testing out unregulated nuclear accelerator handguns and stuff. And it's like, no, I don't like that.
Wasn't she like working at a taco stand or something in the first one?
Yeah, she's from the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma. She's not a rocket scientist.
Now she's a genius?
Yeah, like, now she's a genius. So it's like, no, just get it out. With apologies, I would cut the entire lesbian ghost romance. It does nothing for the movie.
No.
It makes it super convoluted. It's weird. It's weird. So those are my cuts. Get all that out of the movie. The family thing, the family element, I get it. You can't just dump them. I would minimize that. It could bring that down to almost nothing. I would have Paul Rudd is working in Winston's ghost research facility, right? Because he's an actual scientist. He is continuing his studies into parageology because he's a geologist, I think. There we go. Yeah, it's simple, right?
Sure.
He's brought the family to New York, and he's struggling with trying to be a dad to these kids and work on his research, and he's spending all of his time at work, whatever. I don't know. There's your family element. You can make that 5 minutes of the movie. People like Paul Rudd. He's funny. He's pretty good in this. At first, there is no Ghostbusters. It's him working in the lab. All the tech is modern. That drove me so crazy. Get rid of the 80s IBM computers. We keep James Acaster. They're working together on certain things, new tech, whatever. From there, look, not complicated. We're starting to have increased ghost activity because once again, something is coming, right? Like that was the setup in the first movie, right? Gozer's coming. Increase ghost activity. We need the Ghostbusters. Well, we need the Ghostbusters again. You can keep that great scene with Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson where they're talking about getting too old. We need somebody else to do this. From there, you start building your team, and you've already got Kumail Nanjiani, who I thought was really good. Drop the fire-breathing thing. Just make him a Ghostbuster. He can be doing whatever. He's the one that has the ball still. He runs into Dan Aykroyd. He's interested in this stuff. I don't know. Winston wasn't a scientist. He wasn't qualified to be firing a nuclear torpedo off his back, but he did it anyway. And we didn't really bring up Patton Oswalt because he's only in this movie for a minute. But I thought he was funny, and he was a ghost historian. He was a doctor, does all the research. There's your four Ghostbusters.
100%.
Get rid of everybody else.
Yep.
And minimize all that other stuff for the sake of nostalgia at the end. Sure. Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson can suit up. Why not? That still brings our grand total to 6, not 17. And the rest of it, leave it. Just leave the rest of it. They fight the frozen ghost, give him a little more screen time, give them one or two scenes of them learning to work together as a team and busting ghosts and flesh out the characters a little bit. Very simple Ghostbusters movie with a more concise team.
Yeah, see, for me, I would take this back to Afterlife. and I would completely redo that movie.
Oh, well.
Because the setup to me would be, this business has been going this the entire time. They're still busting ghosts, which apparently it has in this one.
Guess so.
You could still have Ernie Hudson kind of ascend to the CEO of the Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. which is now like a corporation.
Okay.
I would have that same team, but they're barely keeping the doors open because there's very little ghosts left. For some reason, paranormal activity is way down. Something comes where paranormal activity has picked up, whatever that is, a new threat. You can even use a containment unit is too full, and they need to come up with a way to try to transfer that. And in the middle of the transfer, some cultist or spiritual activist, they can do a heist where as they're transporting the containment unit to the ghost lab,
ooh.
They bust this thing open, the ghosts come out, and now we've got a threat.
That's right? That's a fun twist.
Right.
Maybe there's somebody that like worships the ghosts. They like the ghosts.
Yes.
Oh, you know what it would be these days? Sorry, not to hijack your pitch. It would be like a free the ghosts. They have
rights too.
They have rights too. Ghost yes. rights activists.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
See, but that could actually be creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Some kind of advocate, like, hey, you know, what are we talking about here? Like, where do your rights end at the human existence? But see, I feel like this lends more to a TV show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a big criticism of this movie was that it feels like they had plot lines for 8 or 10 episodes.
10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag.
Yeah, and you shove it all into this movie.
Yeah. So that's the way I would go with it. I wouldn't go with, like, oh, they shut their doors for 25 years, but I would say that maybe paranormal activity is dwindling
okay.
for whatever reason. And you can play around with that. You can still, say you make the movie 2 hours and 10 minutes, you can still have three, for lack of a better term, action pieces in here, but it doesn't have to be them doing flip-de-doos and shit like that. They can go into one in a haunted house.
Mm.
One could be in the Ecto-1 on the street. You know, and then the third act is your final boss battle,
the big,
so to
the
speak.
The big ghost battle, right. Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be Marvel CGI Skybeam. It can be something creative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is, whatever that big bad is, I haven't really thought that far into it. But these four guys is your team. If you want to bring the family element in, the Spangler family, because I wouldn't even had Egon get killed by Gozer. I would just say Egon's passed away. They're fucking old.
Yeah.
And I would also say Venkman's passed away.
Sure.
And the two surviving members are Ray and Winston.
Venkman could just be gone too. I mean, he was just a con artist
to begin with.
He's just gone. He's doing something else.
You could say that Egon and Janine moved to fucking Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're researching something there. I don't know. Get them the fuck, but they don't need to be in the movie.
It's also been 40 years.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't even have to mention them. I mean, I know you do for movie purposes, but you could totally, there's a world where you could just not have them be around.
People retire too.
People retire. People go do different things. People move on to different jobs. All these movies demand us to just accept that for our heroes that we haven't seen in 30, 40 years, they're just doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, but they're usually down and out alcoholics and miserable and all that. You could have had Peter marry Dana and they went somewhere else to fucking California mm-hmm. and raised Oscar and they retired.
Yeah, fine.
And the two left is Winston and Ray. And they've been running the business this entire time. And that sets up a new team. Then you can have a spinoff. Maybe even they bring a fifth Ghostbuster in who is a woman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can set up that female Ghostbusters movie because it makes more sense. You can splinter that off into its own thing. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
And they're in a different town, whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But they fucked up with the 2016 with trying to redo all that and not tying it to the lore. And in this one, they fuck up because they try to make it this family movie. And that's never what it's been about.
Well, it's dealing with the baggage of Afterlife, which was a family drama. And they're like, well, because we had those characters there, you got to have them back again, which I don't even think you do. You can just get rid of them and it's fine. But yeah, it's got all this baggage attached to it now.
And you don't make the Fire Master the Fire Master, like you said.
Yeah, just make him a Ghostbuster.
You can make him whatever you want. He can be the Winston.
Yeah.
You know? He can be the guy, I'm just doing this for a paycheck. I'm learning as I go.
Totally. I'm interested in this stuff, but I don't know anything about it. But I'm going to learn. I'm learning on the job. you know, again, very, very Rise of Skywalker to get saddled with the baggage.
Yeah.
Different baggage, but, you know, by the time you get to that movie, by the time you get to Rise of Skywalker, it's, well, we got the legacy characters, and we got the new characters we added, and we're adding new characters here, too. Mm-hmm. Exact same thing in this mm-hmm. movie. Stop doing that.
Yeah, I agree. So
when I was looking at my notes, when I was looking at the Rotten Tomatoes score, they have the poster on there, and the poster is so indicative of the movie. It is so many people on that poster. There's like 25 characters on one poster. It is nuts.
that just I mean, that's all you need to know, right?
Yeah. So where do you think they go from here? Does this squeeze out a third movie? It's not confirmed. No. I don't think so. I think it's done.
I think it's going to be put to bed for, let's say, 3 years before the reboot. Because they will dig into this again.
Of course.
They can't Hollywood help. Is...
out of ideas.
They're out of ideas.
And Ghostbusters is valuable. Yeah, I think I'm with you. They put this to bed. Give it five years, something like that, 6 years. And I think they'll go hard reboot. No original... The only hard part with that is, contractually, you need the original guys on board, whoever's left, but they're not going to be around much longer.
Or maybe this is the opportunity to make a show, a TV show.
Yeah.
You know?
Just go back to the, yeah.
I mean, fuck, you look at the money these days and the theater's dying.
Mm-hmm.
The way to go now seems to be to do a Netflix movie or Amazon or something like that.
Well, to do another Star Wars comparison, that's exactly what Star Wars had to do.
Yeah.
It was Force Awakens was like the biggest movie ever, and then it was diminishing returns after that. To the point where Solo lost a bunch of money and they've been doing nothing but shitty Disney Plus TV shows since then. Well, they're not good.
No. Well, I haven't seen a lot of those. I saw, like I told you, Mandalorian season one, but...
Yeah, it was pretty good. Everything after that. I still haven't seen Andor. I know that's supposed to be the great one. I'll get there, but... I think they maybe put this to rest for now, but come back in a different capacity. Or don't. It's getting depressing.
Yeah, and that's why we don't do current movies these days, because we just want to remember the good times.
Exactly. Just let us be nostalgic.
Boy, this has been 2 weeks of downers, hasn't it?
Okay, well, this is my last episode for a little while, not too long. When I come back, let's do something.
Something really fun.
Something really fun and really good.
All right. Something will be out next week. I don't know what, but yeah. Something. We'll see you guys.
Bye.